This is the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. In today's episode, Monocle's Toronto Bureau Chief Thomas Lewis asks, what does Canada have to celebrate on its 150th birthday?
It's Canada's birthday, and on Canada Day this year, which takes place on the 1st of July, the occasion will be rather more festive than usual, as the nation sticks 150 candles in the proverbial national birthday cake. Canada's 150th anniversary marks the confederation of what was then British-ruled Canada, today's Ontario and Quebec, and the provinces of Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. The 10 provinces and 3 territories that make up Canada today have been forged at various stages over the past 150 years. But despite the year-long roster of events up and down the country, there are many Canadians who've not been rushing out to crack open the party hats. A recent opinion poll suggested that a majority of Canadians felt the $500 million Canadian dollars, that's about 340 million euros, spent by the government on the birthday party of the year was just too much. The centrepiece of Toronto's celebrations, the largest inflatable rubber duck ever made that will float along the city's waterfront on Canada Day, has also ruffled feathers in the city. The official logo of the celebrations too, a jagged stained glass-like rendition of the maple leaf which was unveiled in 2015, left many people rather uninspired too, especially those who remember the design triumphs of the 100th anniversary celebrations back in 1967. It might sound strange that so many Canadians appear to be pooping the party before it's really begun, especially when there is, quite rightly, so much to celebrate in Canada at the moment.
This is Canada, and in Canada, better is always possible.
Justin Trudeau, in the year and a half since he was elected in a landslide, has become a prime ministerial poster boy, an international statesman and the flag bearer for what many in so many Western countries see as a shaken liberal agenda in their own countries. Initiatives like Canada's vaunted refugee programme, particularly that targeted at Syrians displaced by the war in their country, have asserted Canada as an open, responsive place that wants to play its part in the world rather than withdraw from it.
Tonight they step off the plane as refugees, but they walk out of this terminal as permanent residents of Canada.
Canada's economy too, which weathered the economic storms of the global financial crisis in 2008 so well, is emerging from the stagnation it slipped into in the years since. It's now the fastest growing of the G7 economies, and its tech sector, for example, is blossoming, particularly in Montreal, Waterloo near Toronto, and in British Columbia. Major companies such as IMAX, Bombardier, and the Four Seasons hotel chain founded in Canada are still headquartered here. This all speaks to a determination to look out rather than in, economically speaking. A new visa system for international candidates for jobs in high-growth areas in Canada has just been rolled out, meaning a visa can be acquired in 2 weeks rather than the year-long process it was until now. This is a canny response to the creeping sense of insularity stalking the corridors of power in Washington and in London. And of course, Canada's cultural clout is heftier than it's been for many years. Montreal, for instance, has become a powerhouse for computer game production around the world. And artists like Drake, The Weeknd, Ryan Gosling and Shawn Mendes have all become Canada's latest soft power ambassadors in music charts and in movie theatres around the world. The major complaint against the celebrations this year speaks to one of the most contentious questions in Canada's 150-year history, the recognition, or lack of it, of the role Canada's Indigenous people play in the country. First Nations populations occupied this land thousands of years before colonisers set foot upon it. The tone of those protests against the 150th anniversary feels new for Canada. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission investigation into abuses of Indigenous Canadians by the church and other national bodies is being worked through and has created a more open and widespread conversation about reconciliation in Canada than arguably has ever been had before. So, on July the 1st, even if the strains of Happy Birthday won't be ringing out quite as heartily as one might expect in this 150th year in Canada, there is plenty to raise a glass to this Canada Day. If not to what went before, then certainly to what's to come. Happy Birthday, Canada.
That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. My thanks to Thomas Lewis in Toronto. Remember to tune in to the Foreign Desk, available from Saturday. I'm Andrew Mullip. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.